You may be seated. Romans 12, 2. I know you know that scripture by heart. But there's such a, and I want you to get this word down, polluted mindset in the system. A polluted mindset. In other words, minds that are full of filth. And so, in going through training you how to stand in this generation, how to walk in your salvation, and I'm going to go over some of the same things. There's actually basically six things we need to understand, or five things under your thought life, is your decision. Your decision, which will determine your action. So get these words down: decision, action. Dealing with your character. It's dealing with your destiny. It's one I missed. Decision, action. Habits. Habits are one I missed. So decision, action, habit, character, and destiny. You have to know that. You have to know those. You have to know they all come from your thought life. So only one access that the enemy have to your decision is your thought life. Got that? That's very important. You see, you only have one access to your habit. That's your thought life. You only have one access to your character. That's your thought life. How many of y'all concerned about your destiny? You have only one access to your destiny. That's your thought life. If you can, for a lot of us, recapture your thought life. And I think parents and grandparents and pastors should invade meeting like this if they really love. I've seen my daughter, she's a pastor, she got some of members with her that knew. That's so important. Now, most people, and this is where we come into a problem at, most people try to change their habit. You can't change it. You can't change it if your mind not renewed. You got it? Now, if you renew your mind, and that's what we're doing in these classes, renewing your mind, then you can start changing your decision. You see? Now, our mind changing is different than the average person. We change our mind with the Word of God, which I believe Ephesians, open your Bible, Ephesians 4, and I think it's verse 23. Because what's happening in this generation, he's coming after our mind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, you're not going to be able to counteract if you don't know what's happening. See, because most of the time, we're in the process of trying to change habits. Right. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got in this predicament. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But over the years, he worked on you, showing you things and getting in your mind in that area. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to understand. You had Ephesians 4:23. Yeah. Ephesians 4:23. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to understand. Whatever you've gotten into,
Yes, sir.
Can be reversed.
Right.
Okay? So, generation salvation is not to condemn you. It is to condition you to be what God has called you to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, any scenario in this room, or many watching by internet, can be changed.
Can be changed. Yes, sir.
You know, that's That's a real hopeful statement. You see what I'm saying? But people need hope. They don't need just to be dealt with. They need to know that it can happen.
Right.
All right? Yes, now, you remember, for I read Ephesians 4:23, as the Holy Spirit called that text up. You remember what this means? Remember what this means? Who do not know what this means? You know what this means? All right. You know what this means? Well, shut up. You know what this means? All right, y'all nodding them head. You know y'all do. You know how we do in school? We take a chance. You say, I know. Yeah, I know what it means. What does this mean? Who know? You know what this means? You know what this means? One access. Satan has only one access to your life. That's through your mind. So you're talking about television. We're talking about internet. We're talking about perverted people who have messed up, and some of them never get straightened out because they don't have a man or woman of God or somebody in their life to get them straight. So now they argue that they're right, and they're trying to find the excuse that the Bible says okay. Okay. So I want you to take this now. When I may see you in the store, meet you, and I do this, I'd let you know you don't have no one access. And you in control of that if you know what to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't have two. You don't have three. You don't have four. Any negative response coming from your life is coming from a thought that somebody put in your mind.
Right.
And boy, them thoughts can be strong. That's why they call them strongholds. Mm-hmm. Them thoughts take a strong hold on you and won't turn you loose. Unless you get in a class such as this and find out what's happening to you and find out that you can break free of anything that violates your walk with God.
Right.
So here we got,
yes,
and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now we know what Romans 12:2 says, right? Put Romans 12:2, those two verses need to be at exchange in your life. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now Philippians 2:5 talks about having the mind of Christ. So when we feed our mind with the word of God, our mind turn out to be spiritually minded. The Bible said, be not carnal minded, but be spiritually minded. But said the carnal mind end up in death. Now, I don't mean just physical death. It's a form of destruction of something you're losing in your life and don't know why you're losing it, and you think you're gaining something, but you're really losing because that carnality have set in, and there's a stagnation in your mind to comprehend that God meant better things for you.
Right.
You see, now, in the life chapter, preach from the life chapter today, Romans 8, it says, it talks about being carnal-minded. What do you mean being carnal-minded? Taking up on conforming to whatever going on. See, to be spiritually minded is what we're doing now. We're aiming to develop a safe, and y'all take some notes on some of these things. We're aiming to develop in this section a safe spiritual mindset. That your mind can be on guard. And that you'll be able or be in a position to defend yourself in the aspect of mom and dad have prayed for you, but now you're out here by yourself. You're at school. We got to let you go. But if you have the right frame of mind, if we can train you that the fiery dots that Satan's going to throw at you, he's going to shoot them at your mind.
Right.
See, you already, well, most of us, I think all of us, I'm looking. You're already born again. You're already a Christian.
Yes.
Okay? Because I used to wonder how Christians can do these things. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm about to say something. Don't get upset. I never did them.
Yes,
since I got saved. I just, you know, I've sinned, but not no commitment to sin, not no practice sin. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, nobody perfect, but I have not gone back out to my old piggish ways.
Yeah.
And I know now the only reason that I was able to maintain a walk with God for these 47 years is I buried myself in the Word every day. And somewhere the Word covered me. So now, I want to get back to make sure you know this is. When we raise our hand in generation of salvation, that means Satan have only one access. He can't break in the other way. He can't come in your spirit. He can't. Your spirit is already born again. You're a new creature. So he works on your mind. He give you a thought. And in that thought, that's what evil is. So we're talking about renewing our mind. Now, renewing your mind is not a one-day activity.
Right.
Every day. Apostle, do you ever have to renew your mind? I better. That mind will go plumb crazy, man. And it got so much stuff going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, when I was a boy, I didn't have all this stuff going on, you know. Man, it got some stuff going on. And that's why I believe that God woke me up 3 o'clock that morning and told me, begin to train you. All right. Now, when you come down to decision, all right, habit, come on, y'all with me? Decision. Habit, what's next? Action, then character, and destiny. All right, come on, let's go over them. All right, thoughts, decision, habit, what's the next one? Action, habit, character, and destiny. One more time. Thought, some of y'all don't know what the world we talking about. You say you don't know what we talking about. You wake your mouth. And you say the wrong word. You say the wrong word, and you heard them correct them. Look at you. So let's get these words right, because we're going to go down the line. Well, let's do it this way. Thought, put it this way. Thought determine your action. See, we're narrowing this thing down to one stroke. If I develop my mind right, my action will have no problem. Mm-hmm. If I know how to, listen to me, good. Boy, you look like your daddy. if I can narrow it down to one thing in generation salvation, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you how to protect your mind. All right. And if you can protect your mind, your character going to be all right. Your habit going to be all right. Your destiny going to be all right. I mean, we can see you 40 years from today, and you can nod our head and say, from that class, I'm still in control.
Right.
You know how to shut Satan down. You pull on them stronghold and cast down them imagination. If you learn that now and make it an intricate part of your life, I like the way it's set. It's thought, decision, action, habit, character, and destiny. And each one, the thoughts run all of them.
Right.
Your thought run your decision, it run your action, it run your habit, it run your character, and it run your destiny. So if you're in any kind of problem, it started with a thought. Mm-hmm. All right. So now we got to undo it with a thought.
Right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so I like the way it says thoughts produce decision. Decision produce action. Action produce habit. Habit. And habit produce character. Character produce destiny. I want to hop there because I think this is the flow in which we're going to change that.
Yes, sir.
Now we know we got... Romans tells us about the mind of the spirit, so you don't have to do all this by yourself. Once you hear the word of God, the mind of the spirit begin to press in to give you, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
To give you the help or the divine assistance you need, because if you stuck, you're not going to just push your way out.
Okay. Yes,
God's word is set to help you.
Glory, yeah.
Amen. God's word is said to help you. Now, we're not talking about, look at me, young lady back there. We're not talking about being a square. I don't believe in being a square. You know what I mean with a square? No fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about you to see the difference between real fun and where you're being set up at.
Right.
All right? I don't think mom, dad, grandfather, grandmother mind you having some fun, but we want to teach you how to have clean fun. And to have clean fun, you got to have a clean mind and clean friends. Clean mind and clean friend. All right, so thought become decision, decision become action, action become habit, habit become character, character become destiny. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying myself over and over again, you can't change your decision without changing your thought. Uh-huh. Now most Christians, I'm repeating myself, or most persons who are trying to get out of something, they're trying to change their action and their habit. I mean, they're doing everything again. I mean, they got the clock set. Put a string around your finger. Hey, I just ain't going to do this no more. You know, let's say it 9 times. I ain't going to do it no more. 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 Yeah. And every time you're doing that, you're attracting it.
Yeah. Wow. Come on.
Yeah, every time you're saying it over and over, you're actually attracting it. Yeah. So, but you got to go back and take the word of God and renew your mind.
Yes, sir.
See, other words, the action and the habit and the decision are the fruit.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not the root.
It's right. Right.
Yeah, see, so to handle it, you got to get your root straight. When you get your root straight, you can handle the rest of it. All right?
Yes,
all right, let's see, can I take you further tonight? As simple as this, because we didn't know a lot of things, and because mom and dad, we have done everything we can with you, We have to take our thought life back.
Absolutely.
Take your thought life back. That's one of the most precious things you got. To take your thought life back, you must let God have your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Or let God give you his thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one of the main thing is we're going to be teaching you how to take your thought life back. Now watch what I'm going to say now. That's all you need to focus on.
Yep. Wow.
Look in 2 Corinthians 10:5 again. We'll go over the scripture as many times I think Holy Spirit think we need to go over it. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imagination, every high thing, exalt yourself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive. Will you write that down for me? Every young person, you're texting on your phone or whatever. Taking every thought captive. Say it. Let's say it.
Taking every thought captive.
I mean, it can get crazy. Them thoughts can get crazy. But whoom, zoom, zoom. They're zooming. But here, I'm talking to you. Taking every thought captive. So the Bible wouldn't tell us to take every thought captive if we couldn't.
Right, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So God has built us, we have the ability and the divine rights and the divine freedom to take every thought captive.
Yes, sir.
All right? All right. And it says, and then put it in the obedience of Christ. Now, in recovery, what about recovery? Turn to 2 Timothy 2. I might have gone over this thing, but I need to go over and over again. A lot of time in teaching, you get in a hurry and try to teach everything you think you know. and you pass over things, you don't get the Holy Spirit a chance to help us, you know. Y'all know, y'all preachers laughing behind the whole lot. 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, now this is a masterpiece here, because what it's doing here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and verse 25, verse 25 and 26, you need a teacher. I know that. That's the voice that's coming up there. But it says in verse 25, and this is what I'm doing right now. I mean, because if you got something you're hiding from your mom and dad, or you're hiding, maybe it's out, but you act like you can't get it changed, tonight the Lord is going to help you how to change it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hell of a thing to have something and want to change it and can't change it. You see, and Satan, one of his main forte is to make us seem helpless.
Yeah.
You know, you laugh and talk in the crowd, but when you get by, you say, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to live like this.
Yeah, right.
And then Satan said, you did it. He lying. You see, you didn't do it.
Yeah. Right.
See, he's trying to make you guilty And as if you're in a trap, you can't get out. Now, here's what the scripture says. Everybody with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, huh? Verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God pre-evangel will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. May the Holy Spirit help us. Because I need you, that what you know you're doing wrong, I need you to go to God and repent about it.
Right.
Repent mean I'm sorry.
Yes,
I don't want to do it, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm asking you to forgive me. Cleanse me from that. Mm-hmm. See, now, if there is no repentance, you can't get out.
Yep.
See.
Yes, sir.
See. Now, I'm not talking about no goosebump experience. I'm talking about just doing it on purpose.
Right, right. Yeah, right.
See, the Lord going to help you because he know you're turning his way.
Yeah.
So you got to have repentance. Now, not to just anything. Mm-hmm. To the acknowledgement of the truth. God didn't make me to be a stealer.
Yeah.
Or a liar.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Or et cetera. Mm-hmm. Of all the ungodly thing God trying to put in people's lives today. God didn't make me do it. When you acknowledge that, now notice verse 26 is so important. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Trap, snare mean trap.
Right.
Who are taken captive by him at his will. And you see, you can change that. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all talk to me. Y'all follow? Okay, all right. So look at that scripture. Again, most Christians and most churches think they got to make sure that their action and behavior is right. Mm-hmm. Here's how it goes. I got to make sure my action are right. I got to make sure I do what is right.
Yeah.
And you can't do what is right if your mindset is not changed.
Right.
You're aiming, you have a desire to do it, but yet all you do is just slip another thought in. You know, people act like, you know, Satan really can't bind you. Hmm. You're above him.
Right.
See, the only thing he can do is deceive you.
Yeah.
Another word we use, he can trick you if you don't know what to do. Got it?
Yes, sir.
And then, I know I've been through, I went through years with this lack of understanding. When we think about, all we are thinking about is do, that's all we end up with. Do. But when we deal with our thought life, it will influence and affect our action.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Now, I know back from the old school in church, that's all we did preach about doing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You got to do this, you got to do this,
right.
You got to do this. I mean, we were loaded down, we left out of the church.
Yeah.
Man, we got some things to do, boy. We got to do it. Didn't do one of them.
Yeah.
Didn't know how.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So, look at Proverbs 23:7. Now, this actually talking about who not to be hanging around with.
Mm-hmm.
And people trying to trick you. I'm with you, girl. You're going to get out of this thing. I'm with you. Then they call somebody and say, you know that girl, she ain't,
yeah.
You know, I'm with you, baby. In Proverbs 23:7, it gives us a marvelous revelation. As a man thinks, so is he. What does that mean now? As a man thinks. Why not as a man do? As a man go, we have thought that we can straighten everything out by saying something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Satan don't mind you saying nothing if your thought's wrong.
Right, right.
Because that's where he's going to come back at.
Right, yeah.
He can't come back in your saying, he come back in your thinking.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't want you to say that. I don't want you, you know, I know there's some things here. I prayed about the gifts of the Spirit today, mm-hmm. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Discerning the Spirit, those are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost. of something you can't know naturally.
Right.
And then a person talking to you, and you know exactly what they skipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I know in these generation of class, I got to have the gifts of spirit. I got to yield to the gifts of spirit.
Right.
I know that because I know people in trouble are real slick. Against themselves.
Yeah.
And so I just trust the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Let's say thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Say, He's helping me now.
He's helping me now.
My victory
is here
tonight.
Tonight.
Anything I need to break.
Any
habit I need to break.
I believe.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the power of the blood.
My heart.
My mind.
Is receiving
from God.
Thank you, Father.
Father,
I repent
in the name of Jesus.
Anything
I have done
out of your will,
I'm sorry.
I'm asking you to forgive me.
Help me now
to overcome.
I receive it.
I will not be condemned
because you said if I confess my sin,
You are faithful
and just
to cleanse me
from all unrighteousness.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Here's a statement. Your history, when your life is over, the history that is written about you will be determined by the thought life that you have had. Isn't that something? This statement here gonna be erroneous if you don't catch it in the spirit. See, you have to be taught, and things have to be caught, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit has to help you with them. All right?
Yes, sir.
It says, "Isn't it amazing how some people think you can't control your thought life?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want you to hear that because we're gonna talk about that in a minute. But sure you could.
Yeah.
All right. Let's put it, and this will be real sweet to you because y'all think fast. Let's just put a screen on your forehead that showed everything you ever think about, and I guarantee you control everything you're thinking about. If I was able just to set something up on your forehead, then everything you think about, and I don't want that on my forehead either.
Yeah.
Because the enemy, you know what I'm saying, the enemy started shooting thought, and I'll be charged with a thought I didn't think.
Yeah, right.
You don't think you're thinking all your thoughts, right?
Right, that's right.
No, baby. You're not even thinking your thought. That's the enemy. Those any evil or negative or dark thought that come in your mind, he shoot them. Why now? He shoot them to us all.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the thought that count. Is knowing what to do with the thought and what to accept and what to reject. And what to clean up and what to let stay in.
Yeah, right. That's right.
No, not a person in here
want
no thought gadget on their mind. Well, I think the devil really would have because a thought of flash called Pastor Phil mind, he wasn't even thinking it. The thing, all of it's there, he got to get it out.
Yeah. Right.
Whoa, you got to get it out.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
It's going to come to us all. But you got to know how to get it out. Now, when you know how to get it out, less come.
That's right.
Because he's looking for a pigeon.
Yeah. Mm.
When I say a pigeon, well, you can drop something on them, and they don't know what to do with their mind.
Yeah.
But he'll still shoot at us. But when we finish in these school, and two or three years down the line, boy, it'd be hard to trick you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? If you knew everybody could see every thought you ever thought, you would change some of the things you think. Amen. Now, so here's where the Lord going to help us. And here's where Satan trick us at. You can't always control what thought come into your mind. But you can control how far you let that thought make progress in your mind and make progress in your life.
That's right, sir.
Got it? See, so no, because Man, you say, man, I thought that. You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. It's the enemy brought it there,
right,
and you didn't know what to do with
it. Right, yeah. Right.
So he repeated.
Yeah. Right.
And he repeated. Why? You don't know how to dump it.
That's
right. You follow what I'm saying? So he kind of telling it to you because he's trying to get you in a frame of mind where when the opportunity come, you'll be ready to do it.
Right.
Why? You didn't know how to dump it.
That's right.
Are you with me, Glenn?
Yes,
huh? Huh? How you dump a thought? You pull it down.
Uh-huh.
You say it out in the name of Jesus. No, you don't.
Yeah, right.
No, you don't. How many times a day? Oh. My calculator broke.
Yeah.
I can't. That's how many times a day, you know.
Yeah.
So now, let me ask you, class. One of the things, you think you're a bad girl because you're watching that program and that thought came. Mm-hmm. And you watch it again. And that thought came. Then now you have a perverted person going to approach you with the same thought. You know, it's fun. You know, we have a good time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've seen it. You've heard it 7 or 8 times in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, he's setting you up because you didn't know what to do with that thought. Mm-hmm. No, you're trying to deal with your action. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. He still don't respect that. Because you're not trained how to deal with that thought.
Wow.
Are you with me, Clint?
Yes, sir.
Let me say this again. You can't always control what thoughts comes into your mind. Got it?
Yes, sir.
But you can control how far you let that thought make progress in your mind. Watch this. And make progress in your life.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now I'm about to make a statement now. It's going to sound, let's see how, but you get it. And that is why we need to stop all thoughts at the gate. That is why we need to stop all thoughts at the gate. And we're going to tell you how. You remember we talked about every thought need to check in at the registration desk? Check in with the image of God. And the righteousness of God. Two things. The image of God. I'm just like God.
Yes, sir.
And the righteousness of God. Thoughts have to stop there and check in. Other words, is this thought in agreement with God? Say it. Is this thought in agreement with God?
Is in agreement with God.
Now, class, you don't have to hold your hand up. Have any of y'all ever had a thought you knew? What in agreement with God? I got my eye closed. Close this. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. Anybody in this room ever had a thought you know wasn't in agreement with God? Now, if we were to tell the truth, keep your eye closed. Stop peeping, you liar. Stop peeping. If anybody had a thought, you ever had a thought that you knew wasn't in agreement with God? Yes, we all have. Keep your eye closed. But by the same token, tonight and in each section, and I know your pastors have taught you, but we specifying on it, how to deal with it. Don't be condemned or guilty because the thought came. That's okay about it coming. But be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that if it's not in agreement with God's image and likeness, you know how to get rid of it. You say, no, you don't, in Jesus' name. Now, if you do that enough, he'll quit. All right, you open your eye. He'll quit. You had your eye open before I told you you could open your eye. You don't be looking when I tell you don't look. Close your eye. All right, so every thought needs to be stopped, and you need to ask that thought. Are you in agreement with God's word? So that means most of your thoughts. Because they're coming, boy, about they constantly coming. How many know I'm telling the truth now? Don't y'all sit here and act like I'm just talking something like this is a algebra. It's not algebra, it's not geometry. This is very, very, very clear.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
But you have a way, you gotta have a quick way. Because this is a quick world, mm-hmm. and Satan is a quick devil.
Right.
And so when a thought comes, It comes to you like a machine gun. And so you have to have a quick way to make the adjustment right away, that thought won't take you away from the path that your mom, your dad and your mom tried to put you on, or your grandfather and your grandmother tried to put you on.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And if that thought can't answer when you act it, is in agreement with God, if it can't answer affirmatively, then you need to have that thought arrested. Mm-hmm. Take it captive and brutally, I heard you, brutally deal with that thought in your life.
Yes, sir.
Brutally. Don't have no money. No, I'm not going to do that. I break that power. No.
Yeah.
I'm not going. Mm-hmm. In fact, I want to show you how to brutally, let me show you how to brutally, how brutal you need to be with your thought. Let's look at that. Go to Psalm 18. And the question is here, is it making any sense to anybody?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask the question. Just keep looking ahead. Can you see how you got into that? Huh? Got you believing that's who you are? Because a repeated thought have come to your mind and brought you into that trouble. And you're coming out. You're coming out. In Jesus' name, you're coming out. Huh? So it may seem like I'm saying the same thing, but I'm not. I got a whole lot of more stuff here, but I'm not rushing.
Yes, sir.
Because I make sure you get it. In Psalm 18, let me show you how to ruthless and brutal you need to be with your thought life. And that is my advice to you. When the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, I'm reading to you now. The word taken into captivity, those words come from Roman language, was in Greek language, but it was the Roman world that these words painted a picture of. Whenever there are words in the Bible usually paint a picture that is greater than the word itself. I just had to read that to get it out. You can have one Greek word that could mean so many different things. One Greek word for love, which is the word we use in the English, but the Greek language concerning love has so many more meanings, and so many more words from one word we have for love. It has so many other words that paint a picture of what love is. It doesn't just give us definition. And we need to picture taking every thought captive or bringing thoughts into captivity. You got to picture that. Picture that. God, the mind is amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God. That's why Satan
yes,
wanted.
Yes, sir.
You have an amazing asset
yes, sir.
To be able to think.
Yes, sir.
And so you need to, words create pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a naked woman walking. A naked man walking, or two women kissing and in the bed, mm-hmm. And now they didn't. When I was a boy, they didn't bring that on television.
Right.
Nobody got in no bed on television. It took you all there. Everybody get in the bed now.
Yeah, that's it.
Huh? Everybody get in the bed. If you're gonna protect your children, you had to take the TV out of the house. And they still, when they go to the store, they're going to see it at the store.
Yes,
sir. So you got to get them prepared to take what they see.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And be able to handle it, all right?
Yes, sir.
So here we have a picture of a Roman soldier brutally beating his prisoner, brutally taking somebody in a Roman prison, beating that prisoner into submission. You got to beat your thought into submission. You heard what I said? I know it's an evil thought to beat a prisoner into submission, but that's exactly the picture God wants us to have of what we need to do with wrong thoughts.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Beat them into submission. We need to be brutal. We need to be ruthless. We need to be just crushing toward thoughts that don't line up with God's word. We don't need to have mercy on our thought life that don't line up with the word of God. Mm-hmm. Any thought that raises up against the knowledge of God, so that's some thought. You're a failure. See? You're never going to make it. You're never going to change. You're sick. You'll never get healed. The doctor say you're going to die. Why don't you just accept the sickness? I'm going to add on now. See, you're casting. and see him singing your favorite song. The devil can start telling that you, yes, no, I ain't dying now.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell him sometime. You know, he come out, no, I ain't dying right now.
Yeah.
You got, he can shoot them thoughts.
Right.
Yeah, he shoot a pain.
Yeah.
What he shoot after that? A thought.
Yeah.
I don't accept that.
That's right.
Why don't you just accept how bad this financial situation is for you?
Uh-huh.
Watch now. Watch. You listening?
Those
thoughts are raising themselves up against the knowledge of God. That's all they're doing, raising themselves against the knowledge of God. So if you know how to put the knowledge of God in your thought life and go by that, so here we go in Psalm 18. Look at verse 37. I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. So I'm gonna show you how to brutally deal with thoughts that are trying to take your life, trying to take your character, trying to take your decision, trying to take your habits, you see. Mm-hmm. Now remember what enemy we're talking about. What the enemy we're talking about? Thoughts. Thank you, darling. Come on, everybody. What enemy that we're talking about? I pursued mine enemies, plural, and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Now, I want you to take negative, ungodly thought. And I want to tell you right now, I know this. I know that there's a check in you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Christian, right? We're all Christian.
Yeah.
There's a check in you every time a wrong thought comes.
Right.
Yeah, always.
Always.
So now, we have to be brutal with these thoughts. We can't say, well, I ain't going to do that. No, you got to be brutal with them. You got to make sure they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the enemy of wrong thoughts, how we got to handle them. Watch this. Satan is our enemy, but he has no power over our lives. So, but what his goal is to gain access into our lives through our thoughts. So if I know how to whoop these thoughts and be brutal and say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm buying you, devil. Yeah, I ain't doing this.
Yes, sir.
You better go somewhere with this mess.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And it don't take long either. Because when the devil find out you're not stupid,
yeah,
he say, I need a stupid young person.
Yeah.
I got time to mess around this girl. This girl binding me, talking about the blood, talking about, you can't stay here. No, I need to get somebody who gonna side in with me. I ain't got time to be with her. She walk on the floor, swinging her arm, you know. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
And so our enemies, are you listening? Are really the thoughts that Satan tried to put in our head.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's our enemy. Yes, the thought that Satan tried to put in your head. They are your enemy, and they are the one you got to deal with brutally.
Yeah, right.
They have to go through your image. They have to go through righteousness. And you know when they're wrong, and you just said, I'll pull you down. I'll cast that down. No, in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes, sir.
You do it enough, he'll leave you alone.
That's
in that area. He's coming back, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who your enemies really are, your thoughts. What? Your thoughts are really your enemy. You hear me, little sis? Your thoughts are really your enemy. The person who brought you that thought, talking about girls or women laying with women, Romans 1, chapter 1, read that before you go to bed tonight. Romans chapter 1. It tells you about things like that, because that's one of the things I got to watch, because it's sneaking in to the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm a Christian. You ain't walking in on Christian value now.
Yeah.
You got to go back to this Bible, okay?
Yeah, right.
All right. Now, Satan is our enemy, but he has no power over our lives. So what his goal is to gain access into our lives through our thought. And so our enemy are really the thought that Satan tried to put in our head. I'll say that again, all right? That's how you become a drug addict. It's not the drug. It's the thought. Here comes the drug dealer.
Yeah, right.
Comes somebody to my, man, I felt good. Yeah. You won't feel good?
Yeah.
Now, you had a thought about it already, you know.
Yeah.
That is.
Yes, sir.
So the thoughts, that's who are really, they are our enemy. Whatever thoughts Satan try to bring to your mind, bring into our head, that's who our real enemies are. And so in verse 37, again, he says, read verse 37. Think about your thoughts and read verse 37. Go ahead. Notice what he said. I pursued my enemy, right?
Yeah.
So number one is that we see there has to be a chase.
Right.
We got to go after it.
Yeah.
You have to chase your thought out of your head. Mm-hmm. You have to be aggressive.
Uh-huh.
You have to take aggressive action against the thoughts that come against you and accuse you or lie to you or tell you things that are out of alignment with God's word. You got to be aggressive. Say it. Now, y'all know how to be aggressive.
Yeah.
This generation, you talking to me?
Yeah.
Y'all know how to be aggressive. I know y'all know how to be aggressive. So number one, he says, I have pursued my enemy. Number two, he said what? I've overtaken them. You got to overtake those thoughts. Are you got me? What do you overtake thoughts with? Words. Words. Right word. You said, thought says, they say come home at 12, but I don't be to make it at 12. I'm going to get there at 1 o'clock and take the consequences. You said, no. I'm going home at 11:45. Mm-hmm. See, I just give you an example how to take it over, see. Oh, my goodness. Every time a negative thought come to your head, you need to speak to it.
Speak to it.
Mm-hmm. I do it all the time. I said, you a apostle? You better believe it. Me more than you.
Yeah.
Who teaching, me or you? Well, he want me bad.
Yeah. That's right.
He want me to run around with a woman. And then you all find out, and all the stuff I taught you is going down the drain. I said, well, he ain't. That wasn't true.
Yeah.
When a thought comes to you and says, you're a failure, you're not going to make it, you're not going to ever be free, you need to take that thought captive by attacking that thought,
mm-hmm.
by aggressively pursuing that thought and overtaking it by saying, no, I'm not a loser. No, I'm not a failure.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to have me doing this the rest of my life.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm tired of this mess.
Yeah.
See, I think one of the major problems is once we get in trouble, we cry. We might not be saying it out loud. We're crying out for help, and help don't arrive. Or if help arrives, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. Get on your knees. And that's right within itself. But that thought is not attacked.
Right
when I get up on my knees, the phone gonna ring.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See. But if I got something to work with, I need a weapon.
Yeah.
I need a weapon,
yes, sir,
to come against what Satan is using against me.
Right, yes, sir.
And the weapon that I use is called the sword of the spirit. The first thing the sword going to do is, Hebrews 4:12, mm-hmm. it's going to deal with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Then in Ephesians 1:17, now it's going to deal with the enemy.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yes,
the sword of the spirit had to be in two, it's a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It deal with you, one edge.
Yeah, that's right.
You got that?
Right.
The other edge, it deal with the enemy. Put it down, Hebrews 4:12, they're going to go in there and know the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Thoughts, and then go to Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah.
Thought, for the word of God is quick, that means it's alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And I just said the two-edged. One edge is to cut you.
Yeah, right.
The other edge is to cut the enemy.
Yeah. Yes,
what happened? We've been trying to use the two-edged sword just on the enemy.
Yeah.
One edge is to cut you. It's two-edged. I see, Lord.
Yeah.
See, one, that's your cut right here. Two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the son of soul and spirit. And of the joint marrow. Now, why would he say this on the end?
And
there's a discerner, talking about the word of God.
Right.
Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Say thoughts.
Thoughts.
And intents of the heart.
And intents of the heart.
Now, some of y'all got a mind to walk out of this class and go do exactly what you've been doing.
Come on, sir.
You hear? You hear on a due arrest?
Yeah.
You didn't want to come. But dad and mama say, grandma say, you got to go. You see, and you're not planning on changing. But I pray that the word of God cultivates your heart and mind, that you at least become willing to change.
Yeah.
If we can get you willing to, because we got a lot of people in your praying, if we get you willing to change, you're gonna change.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you see, he taken captive at his will. And he take us captive by thought. So any captivity you in, he got you by thought life. You said to yourself, I wonder when this class is going to finish. See, that's your flesh talking to you now.
Yeah.
You won't get out. Well, I got flesh too. It's going to finish real soon. I just want you to know. I just want you to understand that. You had the word too long. I preached hard all last week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So Hebrews 4:12 is using the sword on yourself. Mm-hmm. It's flesh suicide. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You take that sword, it'll suicide the flesh. Thoughts and things that are going to lead you from God, you see. And it narrows down to the son of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Mm-hmm. Then when you go over there in Ephesians 6, now I think it's the 17th verse, somebody there, it said, and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Mm-hmm. That other edge is a weapon you use to confess, to speak out, to memorize, to meditate, that it get down in your spirit, man, and renew your mind to whip the enemy, to whip the enemy with the word of God, to whip negative thoughts, ungodly thoughts with the word of God. Pornography.
Yes, sir.
Oh, where that word come from? Lord Jesus, I wasn't even talking about that. Pornography.
Yeah.
Grown men.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Got wives.
Yeah.
Can have all the sex they want, and they're going to watch naked people on a screen.
Yeah, right.
That don't do nothing for me.
Yeah, sir. Come on,
man. You say, well, you watch it? You watch any TV program, you're going to get pornography. You don't have to go to the pornography channel, every channel pornography. Let's watch Disney World, then them little animal hug each other. It's everywhere, man. Y'all know I'm telling you, I'm telling the truth. Yeah. You could watch a clean little comedy, but they're going to talk crazy now. You need to take that thought captive by attacking that thought, by aggressively pursuing that thought and overtaking it by saying, no, I'm not a loser. No, I'm not a failure. I'm more than a conqueror through him. Come on, that's good. No, I'm not a loser.
No, I'm not a loser.
No, I'm not a failure.
No, I'm not a failure.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Through him that loved me.
Through him that loves me.
Mm-hmm. God is on my side.
God is on my side.
Romans 8:31.
And
if God be for me,
who can be against me?
God has made me the head.
And not the tail.
Above on it.
Above only.
Who is not repeating this? You know what you're doing? When you don't repeat this, you know what you're doing? You know, you're being rebellious.
Yeah.
And you lack what you're doing.
Yeah.
So open your mouth. I'm
not a loser.
Nor am I. I am not a failure.
I'm not a failure.
I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me.
I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me.
God is on my side.
God is on my side.
And if God be for me,
God be for me,
who can be against me? God hath made me the head.
God has made me the head.
And not the tail.
And not the tail.
Above only.
Above only.
And not beneath.
And not beneath.
That's how you take captive of your thoughts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You pursue it with the word of God. You chase it down with the word of God until it has no place to hide.
Yes, sir.
Got it? Until it has run out of your life and go find someone else to borrow.
Yeah.
He said, I have punished my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they was consumed. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. In other words, I didn't stop beating those thoughts up until they were completely consumed.
Yeah.
Sometime a thought will come in our mind. I'm about to close. Sometime a thought will come in our mind. We speak it out and we try to forget about it, but it come back.
Mm-hmm.
We think we got the victory because we overcame it once. Hey, you need to pursue that thing and deal with that thing until it is utterly consumed and not have any moisture on it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 38. I have wounded them that was not able to rise.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Look at this attitude we should have against our thought life. I wounded them and they were not able to rise. They have fallen under my foot. See, you see it? Look at verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle that has subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thoughts, I'm thinking that. Thou hast also given me the neck of my enemies and the neck of my thoughts that I might destroy them that hate me. Your thoughts sometimes hate you. Verse 41. They cry, but there were none to save them. Even the Lord, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. See, there are thoughts crying in your head all the time, wanting you to receive those thoughts, wanting you to voice those thoughts, wanting you to listen to those thoughts. And when those thoughts cry out, you need not save them. You need not deliver them. You need not to answer
them. Right.
And even under the Lord, those thoughts cry, but he answered them not. Verse 42. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind.
Yeah.
I did cast them out as the dirt in the street. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall say, serve me. Notice this process. He said in verse 37, I pursue my enemy. Talking about your thought.
Yeah.
I overtook them. I did not turn until they were consumed.
Yeah.
Verse 38, I have wounded them. They were not able to rise. Verse 39, I subdued my enemy under me. Verse 40, thou hast given me the neck of my enemy, that I might destroy them that hate me. Verse 41, they cried, there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Verse 42, if that wasn't enough, David said, then I cast them out as dirt in the street. Do you know, do you see how little tolerant David had with thought enemies? All right, let me say this with me. I'm now, you got to give me a little time because I'm trying to word it to you. We all can say it. I stop allowing, come on, thoughts that are contrary to God's word
to have any place in my life.
I overtake them.
I
beat them.
I pursue them.
I conquer them.
I
subdue them.
I defeat them.
I destroy them.
I beat them fine as dust.
I trample and cover them under my feet.
Amen.
Stand on your feet. Let's praise God a minute.
Amen.
I want everybody to put their hand in the air. I'm going to speak over you. Whether you need it or not, I'm going to speak over you. That you will make real to every, yes, sir. Every person in the sound of my voice, the reality of the truth. And that deliverance